I am excited to be in Century Village. This is legendary, Century Village.
The retirement mecca at the intersection of Okeechobee Boulevard and the Turnpike may be the stuff of legend to the president, but 77-year-old Steve Tulkin just calls it home.
We have all the facilities, pools, recreation. We have all sorts of clubs going on. I'm the president of the one club, the Brooklyn Club.
The 55-plus community also has political clubs. Like most Century Village residents, 81-year-old Lubov Richman is a Democrat, and she says the political debates between neighbors can sometimes get a bit spirited.
But we try to avoid it because the antagonistic views can bring to quarrel.
Hours before the president arrived, police officers and security details were patrolling every inch of Century Village. And a fleet of buses shuttling residents to and from the event snarled traffic near the clubhouse. But 65-year-old Kay Klein says none of that bothered her.
It's exciting. Yes. This is Century Village. This is exciting.
80-year-old Rolf Benson has been living in Century Village for 20 years. He says most of his neighbors were enthusiastic about the president's visit. Others, not so much. As for Benson himself.
I was a Republican, I was an independent, now I'm a Democrat.
How long ago did you switch, cross over?
About 2 weeks ago.
There are four Century Village communities in South Florida, two in Broward and two in Palm Beach County. The West Palm Beach location alone is home to about 14,000 senior citizens. I'm Christine DiMattei.
During the press conference here at the Palm Beach County Emergency Operations Center, at one point a reporter told Governor Rick Scott that there are people out in the acreage, flood victims in the acreage and other parts of western Palm Beach County, who feel forgotten, who feel that nobody cares about them, to which the governor replied, well, I care.
We had the opportunity to take a tour, a helicopter tour of the county, and you could see some of these families and the damage that they're dealing with. Their roads are flooded, their property is flooded, they're concerned about their children getting to school.
The governor then spoke extensively about what he calls the next step. He says the next stage is recovery and damage assessment.
That's Christine DiMattei reporting moments ago from Palm Beach County Emergency Operations Headquarters.
The houses on either side of Harold Mendenhall's home in the acreage are now small islands in the middle of newly formed lakes. A family of ducks is swimming right up to the front door of one house while the owner moves her belongings into a truck by way of a small rubber raft.
Lisa didn't get in the house, but it got in the garage and on the back porch. So we're just trying to get stuff out and let it dry out.
84-year-old Mendenhall was luckier than both his next-door neighbors. Only his garage was flooded. We ask if he's received any offers of help from Palm Beach County.
No way. We don't expect it. We fend for ourselves.
County emergency managers say they've been working around the clock, responding to residents whose houses were engulfed by the floodwaters left behind by Tropical Storm Isaac. The storm dumped about 15 inches of rain on the county within a 24-hour period. Meanwhile, Harold Mendenhall says he's received no word about how the county plans to drain the floodwaters away from his home. He says his first priority, after clearing all the stuff out of his garage, is to buy some flood insurance.
Of all the years we've been here and everything, we've never had water in the house or anything, and it didn't get in this time. I will consider flood insurance now. We'll make out.
Since the storm passed off, Palm Beach County's Emergency Information Center says it's received over 2,000 calls from residents reporting flood conditions and requesting help.
And they're still having to wade through waist-deep water. That has County Health Department Director Dr. Alina Alonzo very concerned.
Right now, the biggest hazard is all the stagnant water that we have around our homes. That water is contaminated. It has chemicals. It has debris in it. It might have dead animals.
Palm Beach County Health Department spokesman Tim O'Connor says his department has also seen some reckless behavior.
We have reports of people actually water skiing behind cars on the streets.
In some neighborhoods, roads are still impassable, and residents have been left with a huge mess. Last week, when reporter Christine DiMattei tried to report on those conditions in an equestrian community near Lion Country Safari, floodwaters barred the way. But, as she reports, she eventually made it in.
When the flooding in Deer Run was at its worst, both the driveway and the road in front of Tammy Kayworth's home disappeared. She says she and her husband, their four dogs and three horses, are doing okay. But this is the first time she's been able to leave her house in 2 days.
Palm Beach Fire Rescue has been fantastic. They've had I don't know how many trucks out here, and they came by and asked if we needed anything, and they're escorting people in and out of their homes that can't get out. They've just been great. I can't say enough about them.
The visit to Kayworth's house was one of about 3,600 humanitarian calls paid by Fire Rescue and other agencies in the aftermath of Tropical Storm Isaac. The record rain that fell during the storm overtaxed Palm Beach County's canal drainage system and caused massive flooding in some of the western communities. Many residents were trapped in their homes for days on end. But Fire Rescue Captain Lee Forshner says the situation has improved so much that relief efforts have been scaled back.
Most of the roads have very minimal standing water in comparison to the past couple days. So we found that a lot of residents were able to now start accessing on their own.
Palm Beach County emergency managers are still responding to health issues related to the flooding. Many residents have expressed concerns about mosquitoes and fish kills. County officials say they've aerial sprayed hundreds of thousands of acres and have hired a private company to collect dead fish from the canals.
It's a turquoise greenish. It's not our normal magnificent gorgeous, but
53-year-old Mallory Morse is looking out at the ocean waters off a stretch of Juneau Beach. She comes here often to soak up the rays and improve her health. Moore says the water looks all right now, but shortly after Tropical Storm Isaac passed off,
there was like a 5-foot wall of sand. Not that hard to get down, but very hard to get back up, and the water looked like rust.
The change in color has left some beachgoers wondering if ocean waters have been tainted by drainage canal runoff from the western part of the county. The canals were working overtime after Tropical Storm Isaac dumped record amounts of rain on the region. Many areas were surrounded for days by contaminated standing water. But Palm Beach County Health Department spokesman Tim O'Connor says the change in seawater color was most likely caused by the storm itself and not the runoff.
There's a lot of sand. You know, we've had the erosion. There's a lot of seaweed that's been blown in. Most of what we're seeing, or experts have expressed to us, is that this is the turbidity or just the fact that the ocean itself has been pretty stirred up.
O'Connor says testing of beach waters from Boca Raton to Jupiter performed during the storm yielded a good or moderate result. Neither rating justifies a no-swimming advisory. I'm Christine DiMatte. What you're about to hear is the last known voice recording of Jaco Pastorius.
Good evening. Welcome to Oakland Park, Florida. I'm talking about Northeast High School. I grew up. I had the fortunate experience of growing up with everybody that played music. I know where I stole every note.
Forty-five-year-old Tammy Goss is sitting on a park bench in a small patch of green wedged between Dixie Highway and the FEC railroad tracks. Staring down from the southeast wall of the corner community center is a huge blue-toned mural of a man's face, his fingers curled around an electric bass guitar. Goss knows his name.
I think it's Jaco Pastorius, I think his name is.
But that's really all she knows about Jaco.
I don't remember him. I guess he was before my time or something, so I'm not really sure what he did.
57-year-old Johnny Boston says he hangs out in the park nearly every day. He's seen Jaco's name on a sign.
And that's who that dude is? Oh, I didn't know he was a musician.
Jaco's lightning-fast fingering and use of harmonics elevated the electric bass guitar from rhythm section pulse to a virtuoso's instrument. He toured with jazz fusion band Weather Report and Joni Mitchell and won 2 Grammy nominations for his own debut album in 1977.
This guy needs to be honored forever.
In 2005, Oakland Park resident Robert Rutherford started the petition drive to name the 7-acre park near the tracks after his musical hero. But he says Jaco deserves even more.
Whatever little ways we can come up with. But this is a good start. Got to start somewhere. And I think it could be a catalyst to more things in the future.
After struggling for years with bipolar disorder, the trailblazing musician who performed with jazz fusion giants Pat Metheny and Herbie Hancock ended up homeless on the streets of Fort Lauderdale. In September 1987, after trying to force his way into a Wilton Manors nightclub, Jocko was beaten senseless by the bouncer on duty. He died 9 days later. But Rutherford says Jocko was more magic than tragic, and he hears that in the music.
You can definitely hear South Florida in his music. I can picture flocks of ibis flying in the morning or in the evening back to roost. And you know, it's got to be different for everyone how they interpret these songs, but the place and his music are so intertwined, they're inseparable.
Meanwhile, Rutherford is throwing all his energies behind another grassroots effort, a petition drive for a Jocko Pistorius commemorative postage stamp.
And I was raised by the best musicians in the world. Thank you, Jesus and God.
For WLRN Miami Herald News, I'm Christine DiMatte. Just two blocks west of Federal Highway in Fort Lauderdale, the band Neolithic is rehearsing in a cramped, dark, converted garage. The rehearsal space is just a stone's throw from Holiday Park, the last known address of jazz legend Jocko Pistorius. The four members of Neolithic are all 17 years old, born nearly a decade after Pistorius' death in 1987. But bass player Jerry Caceres refers to Jocko as one of the old homies from down the block.
He's my dog.
He took a lot of like trumpet leads, like, he played it on bass, and that's amazing to have that kind of like speed.
In the late 60s, at just about the same age as the kids in Neolithic, Pistorius was playing every gig he could get in South Florida and earning the chops that would make him the most influential jazz electric bass player of his time. Over a relatively short recording career, he managed to leave behind a huge body of work. But the guys in Neolithic are unanimous when asked about their favorite Jocko composition.
Portrait of Tracy?
Yeah, amazing.
To find someone who could tell us what made Jocko's 1976 Portrait of Tracy such a game changer, we didn't have to look very far.
He's one of these musicians that I listen to, and it just makes me want to put the guitar down and not bother anymore.
Our colleague, WLRN reporter Rick Stone, has been playing guitar longer than he's been a journalist. He says what stands out in Jocko's bass playing is his use of harmonics.
To get that overtone, to get that sort of pretty chiming sound that you don't really expect to hear coming from a bass or a guitar, you touch the string at a particular place on the neck. You don't press it all the way down to the fretboard. You just barely touch it with just enough strength to where you can just feel the string vibrate under your skin.
At the same time Jocko was coaxing these sounds from his fretless bass, the bipolar disorder that plagued him all his life began to quell his incandescent talent. The illness often revealed itself in irrational behavior that left his fellow musicians baffled, and by September 1987, the Grammy-nominated artist was broke and living on the streets of Fort Lauderdale. Jocko died at age 35 from severe head injuries after being beaten by a Wilton Manors nightclub bouncer. The members of Neolithic say that makes them sad and angry. But if Jocko was with them now, in that small, dark rehearsal space, they know what they'd say.
I would look at him, I'll be like, you did a wonderful job in the world.
Mind giving me some pointers?
Yeah, I'd say teach me. Teach me everything you know, please.
For WLRN Miami Herald News, I'm Christine DiMattei.